opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Climatech of Professional Air.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning. If you'd like to text in your questions, comments, or concerns, something going on with your HVAC system as it's warming up but then cooling off. It's beautiful weather out there today, Thursday, May 25th, as we are welcoming Memorial Day weekend. Just keep slipping away that time. If you have something going on, join us in the text line or feel free to call 850-437-1620 here at News Radio 92.3. Travis Thompson from Climatech of Professional Air is joining us. You can find them online, climatechproair.com, or on Facebook and Instagram. If you have something going on, you can message them or feel free to call 850-857-4700. But again, you can call this morning while Travis is here till 10. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning.
How have things been?
Good, good. Getting a lot busier now.
Busier, so, as in everybody's pumping things at 68 because it creeped up to
yeah.
The thermostat broke in my car.
A little bit of that. Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Is everybody else's thermostat saying 180 degrees in their car? Because
it's hot. It is. I mean, the sun does a lot, even if the outdoor temperature is not that bad.
It's the sun.
I mean, our attics trap that, and that gets migrated into our living space, which... That's your barrier. That's your insulation barrier. You know, we do discuss that from time to time. And that's really one of the most efficient things you can do. You know, I'm not even in the insulation, you know, field. But if we keep the heat out of our house, we don't have to deal with it in the house. So then our air conditioning system doesn't have to work near as hard. Efficiency is a lot better. All those good things. And really, I think a lot of people are surprised at how inexpensive it is to add insulation. And you'd be surprised how many attics I go in that the insulation, even in a very nice home, insulation just settles. You know, it's something they put up there. It's nice and fluffy. The whole intent of insulation is to really slow airflow and slow heat from passing through it.
Sure.
And that's why it's fluffy. The more air we have in there, the longer it takes that heat to migrate its way through the insulation and get into the house. Well, if you could imagine anything you put out that's nice and fluffy, after 5, 6, 8, 10 years, it starts to settle, and you have people in your attic that may do some electrical work or whatever might
it
be done up there. It gets moved, it gets stomped, rodents, all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
But we get holes in it, and then overall, the entire value settles, and it can settle a lot. I mean, it can settle down to just 5 or 6 inches where it should be in the, you know, depending on the insulation, 16 to 30 inches of fluff there.
Yeah.
So once that settles, you really don't have near the insulation value that you did when the house was new. So the AC's having to work harder, and then your AC's getting older. So it's a system, you know, it all works together.
Do you guys partner with anybody? I know that's probably,
I do have companies I
tough
recommend.
Question.
No,
okay.
I mean, I have companies that I recommend that can come out and do that kind of stuff.
Because somebody,
you know,
pops their head up, right?
Yeah.
Into
yeah.
the attic area, crawl space, whatever it may be in your yeah. home, to take a look, right, at your ductwork
what
or whatever's
see.
Going
mm-hmm.
on, and they see, you know, maybe there's been some disruption or sinkage or settling,
right.
whatever it is. What about foam, actually? Let me pause that thought.
Yep,
like,
nope.
Foam can change too over the years?
Foam doesn't really change. Once
okay.
it's in there, it's there. But
that's
foam
good.
Is a different system overall. Foam completely stops airflow. And slows down heat transfer. So foam, when you have a foamed attic, the foam goes on the roof deck. So right up under your shingles or metal roof, whatever you've got.
Yeah.
So that's where our barrier becomes to stop the heat. Whereas with typical insulation, our barrier is right over our head, right above the sheetrock. So when you move that barrier up with the foam, you now have a cavity above your sheetrock and below the foam that is actually part of a conditioned space. So it sounds a little weird. you're making your attic kind of part of the condition space, which is good in a lot of ways, but you have to change some things, meaning, you know, we have to get fresh air into the house at that point because we've now stopped airflow altogether. We're not getting near as much of that natural ventilation that we've talked about where you're getting oxygen into the house, things like that. The house is kind of breathing to some extent. We've pretty much stopped that when we do foam. So we have to bring in mechanical ventilation to intentionally suck air into the house, filter
it.
So
it's not that simple as I would think.
It's not overly complicated, okay. But it does have to have a little bit of thought. And it's something that if you're out there and you're talking to somebody about foam and they don't mention something with your HVAC system, that's kind of a red flag because that needs to be addressed. It changes things. For the most part, the AC system does not work as hard. So it's not that it's going to overload your AC, but you do need to bring ventilation into the house. We have seen, now that it's gone on for years, foamed houses that were foamed and did not have ventilation brought into them. We're seeing a lot of really, really excessive coil corrosion.
Ooh.
And it threw us for a loop for a while because these coils were, I mean, when you looked at a coil that was a year old, it looked like a coil that was 10 or 12 years old. It was rusted really, really bad. It was leaking refrigerant. And it kind of had our heads spinning because we were like, what's going on?
This thing,
we just replaced this a year ago. What's going on?
Oh, no.
And other homes weren't getting it. And what we started figuring out was the houses with ventilation were not. And what it wound up being were all of the chemicals off of that foam, just by bringing in that ventilation, the off-gassing was being pushed out of the house and we had fresh air in the house. But without that, all of those chemicals were getting trapped in the home. And they were settling on that coil just because it's wet. And they were just eating at it and eating at it and eating at it. So, yeah, it was kind of wild to figure all that out. But, yeah, it's definitely something. Or if you've got a foamed house and you're going through a lot of coils or something crazy you know, give me a call. We may come out and see, make sure you've got ventilation coming in because it could be that simple. I mean, it's really not a big, big process to do this, but you do have to do it.
And I feel like if you can maybe relate to any of this conversation or you have something else on your mind that you want to ask Travis, please text it into the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning. I'm Jenna Barr, in for Tammy Martin here at News Radio 923-850-437-1620. If you'd like to ask Travis a question from Climatech, a professional air, climatechproair.com. I mean, I feel like we're just at the brink. Like this is like the last minute, last second, end of the line for if something's going on in your home to get somebody out there,
right?
Especially in the attic space, it gets so hot so fast. I can imagine just the treacherous conditions that people have to work in. I always think like that would be the first place I would go look. I mean, obviously you would have your unit and look at the coil, make sure everything is fine and dandy, but also like, what are the conditions upstairs?
It's the most overlooked thing that we see. And you wouldn't believe how many people I go into their home and when I ask them about getting in their attic, they look at me like, for what? I'm like, well, we need to look at the ductwork.
Ductwork. That's what is everything up there usually. Yeah. I mean, unless they have a different kind of house.
They may have a house that's like, well, we can't really get in our attic because there's stuff in the garage or whatever. And they've never even clearly looked at it or had another company look at it.
Wow.
Or if I'm
probably
out,
even since like inspection from or something.
Yeah, I go out to estimate a job and we always want to look at the duct system to make sure if we're going to put a new system in that everything's good there. And nobody else has even looked up there. And if you could put in the nicest system in the world, if you're leaking a lot of air into the attic, you're not going to do any good. And another big problem we see is the duct may not be designed where the flow is correct.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's true.
With these newer systems, you know, we've mentioned before, these things kind of can work as hard as they need to. Well, if we put a restricted duct system on it, it's going to work harder than it needs to from day one and never work like it's supposed to. So you paid for all that efficiency and you're not going to see it because your unit's going to be running harder than it needs to. So there's a lot of reasons to check it and see what's going on. And a lot of times we find stuff that doesn't even relate to us. Like you said, rodents or whatever it might be, insulation, whatever it might be, we see it.
And as we're heading into like the warmer months and, you know, maybe if Travis can come out and take a look at what's going on in your home before it gets so hot that it becomes an emergency, right? We're heading into that weekend. I'm pretty sure, like we've always mentioned when we've chatted that Memorial Day weekend is when generally, although it's been very warm lately, have a little bit of a taper off right now, but that's when everybody's pumping their AC and then having barbecues and going in and out of their homes and putting a little bit more usage in, strain and weight onto the system. So now is the time, 850-857-4700, climatechproair.com. But what are some ways as we head into a busier weekend, if we're having barbecues at our home or, you know, have a friend who's inviting us over, right? Or we're traveling and leaving our homes behind. What are some ways as we head into our summer season officially to take care of our systems the proper way?
Well, a lot of the things are the things we always mention, you know, having it serviced, having it maintenance, be sure the outside unit is clean as well as the inside coil. Those are the two biggest things we find. Obviously, your filters is a big deal. If you're going to be having a get together, you know, don't wait until 2 hours before the get together to turn the AC down to where you want it, because all the materials in the home have to cool down as well as the air in the home. So if you've got a house at 78, you want to get it at 72, it can literally take all day. So if I was going to have an event that day, I would have it the night before, go to the temperature I wanted and just leave it there. And know that once you have people start coming into your home and doors opening and things, you may lose some temperature. You know, if you've got it set at 73, you may get up to 74, 75. Doesn't mean anything's wrong with the AC. They're not typically designed for a lot of in and out traffic, you know, extra people in the house. Some houses will keep up fine. Some will not. But again, doesn't mean anything's necessarily wrong.
They're made to keep what's closed inside.
That's right.
Cooled off. I think that's a really good reminder. What about, you know, is this the time of year, should we still be cleaning the drainage at all? Like,
for
are we
sure
seeing some buildup already?
This is where we're going to start seeing a lot of drain lines back up, because again, people kind of look at a drain line like it's either 100% open or it's closed, and that's not how it works. Drain lines can get little bitty holes where they can seep water out of them. So as long as we're making a little bit of water, we're okay. Well, as we make more and more water, that little bit of seepage that they're allowing out, you know, you go outside, you see it dripping, everything must be fine, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that may be all that's going through that big line. So sometimes you got to get all the other junk out of there to get it a full free flow so that when you start making more water, like we're fixing to do, it can all get out of the house and not make a mess or turn your unit off.
Is there any other signs? Like, I know, any kind of discoloration?
Not really. You know, people that treat their drain lines, when we go out to the outside line there, the algae and stuff is a white color. Whereas people that don't, it's a full green and, you know, nasty looking green color. But that's just,
that would
you
be
know,
dripping.
The treatment just typically, if you treat your drain line, it'll keep that algae from growing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, it just kind of bleaches out. And I'm not saying use bleach. I recommend a drain treatment system, or if you're going to use something on your own, use vinegar, don't use bleach. But that's just a tip, because the bleach actually has a lot of corrosive chemicals in it, and you put it in your drain line and all that bleach doesn't go out. So then the vapors from that bleach come back up the drain line right there at the coil, which is the number one thing we don't want those bleach fumes on, and it starts eating away, and that's where we find a lot of corrosion, a lot of rust, things like that. So
That'll
from the bleach.
Definitely cost you a little extra.
Yeah, stay away from the bleach.
We don't want that in the middle of summer.
Yeah,
I think any time of year.
Right. I've seen a lot of people that like go overboard trying to make sure their drains stay clean, and they're doing a great job, they think, trying to maintenance their own unit, but their coils get eaten up really, really fast because they're using so much bleach. So, I would steer clear of the bleach.
Yeah, and I think as we head into these warmer months, much warmer months, we're so spoiled with such beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. You know, December, even though it freezes, right? Maybe it's not beautiful to you, but you have cooler weather where we don't need the AC and we don't depend on it as much. We kind of tend to forget. I mean, we try to remind you here on Pep Talk, like, hey, take care of your HVAC system, get it maintenanced and serviced and make sure everything is, you know, screwed in tight and held in together, right? But then all of a sudden it's July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
And the heat index is 106 degrees and you don't want to go outside. There's other ways too. I mean, I feel like maybe you'll disagree, like in this time of year as we go in, you know, not being so dependent on the cooler temperatures in your house too. Like not putting a full load at 67 degrees, like you see so many people do.
Air conditioning systems in general are designed to be about 20 degrees difference from the outdoor temp. So that's a good rule of thumb. So
I don't know if I could handle 86 degrees in the house.
Well, right, exactly. But that's when we do get into those days where we're, you know, up in the mid and upper 90s, and you have somebody call in and say, hey, my thermostat's set on 70 and it won't keep up.
Yeah.
Well, it's not designed to. It really isn't. And that's sometimes, a lot of times, we're having those conversations.
So what happens, though? Like, you say, like, it can't keep up. Like, is it just too heavy of a load blowing through the ductwork? Or, like,
no.
Is it just the system?
The system is designed, like, when I say designed, when you do a load calculation for a house, you design the system at a 20-degree difference from the outdoor temperature. Meaning, you know, it's designed for that insulation we were just talking about at 90 degrees. With the amount of windows you have, with the amount of insulation you have, with everything that your house is built with, how long does it take that heat to come into your house? So we know how much heat's coming in, so we know how much we have to remove. And that's how we design it. So when we go over and above that 90, and we're at 98, 99, you know, you can't design for 98, 99 year-round when we don't have those days all the time.
That's true.
So when we do have those days, you set your temperature at, let's say, even 73, 74, and you see 75, 76 in the heat of the day, and then it comes back down, that's okay. It really is. And if that unit runs all day from 10 in the morning until well after dark, that's okay. It's not hurting the system to run a long period of time. It's actually a pretty efficient way to run if it needs to run that way. Because cutting on and off takes a lot more energy than running continuously. So, if you know, in a perfect world, you would want to design where that unit would kick on the hottest day of the year, about 10 o'clock, keep your house where you wanted it and shut back off at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then start cycling again. So that's kind of how the design process works. And when we get outside of those parameters, and we do it both ways, the outdoor temperature gets too hot or someone wants to set it to 68, those aren't design parameters. So just know that when you get outside of that, you can be asking for a little bit of trouble, and it may or may not do it. Just depends on the exact design of the house.
Yeah, that's really good advice right there, Travis. Travis Thompson is here from Climatech of Professional Air, climatechproair.com, where you can text in right now, 850-437-1620, to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin. Tammy will be joining you again tomorrow. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you all. So thankful for all of our service members, and Travis distracting me with the television. Travis, is there a way to prevent sand and salt corrosion? I wonder if you live by the beach.
Yeah, well, completely prevent, that's tricky. There are coatings. Systems can be coated with protective coatings that will prolong it, you know, not completely stop it, but get you many more years out of it.
Okay.
Design features. The all aluminum outdoor coil on the American Standard unit is a very good at salt corrosion and things like that versus other ones, because it is a single material, doesn't have the electrolysis effect like a lot of them do. The other thing would be, like, you know, different sprays and things, and having it maintenanced, making sure that salt is getting rinsed out occasionally. Because that, you know, a lot of times a unit may sit out anywhere near salt air, it's sucking air in when it's running. So any salt particles in the air being sucked into it, and you're never rinsing them out with fresh water, that just, it just magnifies all that corrosion. So yeah, there are several different ways you can go about preventing to an extent, or at least prolonging the life of a unit. And those are the three that come to mind.
All right. That's really good. I'm going to go ahead and text over some information so you can give Travis and his team a call. Just hang tight and you can text in again. We have about 3.5 minutes left here with Travis on Pep Talk. So if you'd like to text in before 10 a.m., 437-1620. I was going to mention another thing. You know, like I mentioned, from December to about April, we have pretty much perfect weather in Northwest Florida. We like our windows open. We have even the blinds just being open, right?
Right.
And we take advantage of it. I do. Yep. I love not having to use light bulbs.
It's pretty out there right now.
It's very, look at this. I don't like having, I would have the lights off if you weren't in here. Okay? Because the sunlight is so bright and beautiful. But then in the summer, that can also probably play a part as well. Just constantly keeping your blinds open where I can imagine your system then works harder.
It does. Now, it's kind of tricky, because even a blind being closed, once that light comes through the glass and hits the blind, there is heat coming in that window that is inside the house. It's going to have to be dealt with. Now, not allowing it to shine further into the house and hit other materials that it's going to warm up with radiant heat, that does help. So, yes, it does. I don't think it doesn't completely keep the heat out of your house. I think some people think that, you know, if you pull a blind, it's like the window's not there anymore, and that's not true. But it does prevent some of the radiant heat from coming through the glass. So it can be a beneficial thing. But I don't know if it's quite as much as people typically think it is.
Okay. And then one more thing before we kind of get ready to wrap up. Like the up and down of the thermostat this time of year, is there too much of a drastic change?
Yeah.
Like you go and leave your house, let's say, for a day. You have to work. You know you're not going to be home from 6 to 10 at night, right?
Right.
And so you pump it up to, let me give you a couple temperatures, like 76, right? Not many people are like me that will go higher.
Right.
But then you get home and you're like, oh, I don't like the way this feels. And then they drop it drastically back down to 70, right? Is that too much of pressure on the system?
Yeah, I mean, if 70 is what you're really looking for, to ask for 78 to 70 before you go to bed, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask. And there aren't many systems out there to be capable of that. I typically recommend customers, you know, 3 or 4 degree swing, you know, whatever you like it at when you're home, going 3 or 4 degrees above that. And then having it come back down. If you've got a scheduled thermostat or if you've got one with Wi-Fi, you know,
that's true.
It come down before you get home. But keep in mind too, that it's really the hottest part of the day and the hardest part of the air conditioning day is more like 3, 4, 5 o'clock.
That's right.
Because that's when our attics are actually the hottest. We like to think as soon as that sun sets, it's easier. The air temp outside is still pretty warm and our attic temp is at its hottest right then and there. So it's kind of something, if you get too far behind, it's going to take you well into the night to get it down to where you want it. So you don't want to go too far. You know, and again, like we talked about a few minutes ago, it running long periods of time is not really unhealthy for it or inefficient. You just don't want to be uncomfortable. And to expect your house to come down in just a few hours, it's not going to happen. Once
it's
we get up
realistic.
Toward 90 degrees, yeah, it's not realistic.
Okay, that's actually just a really good thought. I mean, little tips and tricks for us to maybe not have an emergency in the heat of summer, right? We have little ways. So if you missed any of this episode, you can catch it, the full episode, on our podcast page. Go online, newsradio923.com, search Pensacola Expert Panel, or download our app, News Radio Pensacola, and you can find it again, under the Pensacola Expert Panel. Find Climatech online, climatechproair.com, 850-857-4700. Thank you, Travis, for joining
me. Thank you, ma'am.
And happy Memorial Day weekend.
Same to you.
Shout out to all those who have served. We thank
Absolutely.
You for your service. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.